the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Let me tell you about a news story that just came out, which really was not surprising to me. Headline is, U.S. military thugs with keyboards to spread propaganda using up to 10 online personas each. Says here, rumors have long floated around about government shills spreading disinformation on websites that are at odds with the government party line. And now it's official. The U.S. government has awarded a contract to a company in California to create software to manage, quote, online personalities, end quote. The software will allow one person to manage up to 10 personas and will be used to counter, quote, extremist ideology and propaganda, end quote. And what that means is that these online personalities, known as sock puppets, are going to allow individuals associated with the military to, quote, create a false consensus in online conversations, crowd out unwelcome opinions, and smother commentaries or reports that do not correspond with its own objectives, end quote. Now, you might ask yourself why that this is of interest to me. And obviously you can see that this is being justified with these terroristic-type threats and these extremists that we're dealing with. But I believe this kind of thing has been going on for a very long time. And it really begins with a relationship that I had probably around 15 years with a man who was sort of a mentor to me named Charles Yost. I met him when I was just middle school age. And Charles Yost lived in Western North Carolina, and he was a NASA Hall of Fame engineer. He worked on the Apollo moon project, and he also was probably best known for being one of the inventors of what's called memory foam. And you may know it more by its brand name, Tempur-Pedic foam. But basically, this is foam that is used on the space shuttles. It's used a lot in the medical industry because of its property to absorb shock and retain shape. And Yost had a laboratory there in Western North Carolina in which he would do all kinds of amazing electrostatic experiments. Now, he sort of took me under his wing when I was a teenager, and I was interested in building Tesla coils and learning about electrostatics. And I worked with him over the years on a variety of interesting electrostatic and electrodynamic projects. Sadly, a few years ago, he passed away. Forrest, did you ever get to meet Charles Yost?
I did. I met him one time at one of the conferences that we did at Grove Park.
Yeah, that's right. That meant a lot to me because he was a reclusive fellow in many ways, and he did come out and attend one of our paranormal conferences, the Grove Park Inn, and that was a pretty big deal. And, you know, Charles Yost, he was just fascinated with the idea of UFOs. And the two of us had many, many hours of late-night conversations at his laboratory about the subject of UFOs. And he was so fascinated by the whole thing that he even founded a journal, which is still in publication, called Electric Spacecraft Journal, which was devoted to some of the most amazing, edgy, groundbreaking engineer experimentation imaginable. And in the beginning, Yost was not sure, given his background and his experiences, whether or not these so-called UFOs were of man-made terrestrial origin or they were from elsewhere. But by the end of his life, he had concluded that this is indeed exotic technology, that it does come from some other place, some other world, whether that be somewhere else in our galaxy or another dimension. And, of course, he also felt that a lot of the human technology that seemed connected to UFOs aerodynamically was the result of exposure to this otherworldly technology. But now that you have a little background on who Charles Yost was, once I knew him long enough to feel comfortable asking him things that might be kind of controversial, because he was a very, very understandably confident guy, and you never knew if you were going to bring a topic up, if he was going to really think it was a great topic, or if he was just going to shoot it right down and say, that's nonsense. But because he was one of the key players in sending human beings to the moon, I asked him if he felt that there was anything fishy or weird about our involvement with the moon. Because, you know, there are just tons and tons of conspiracies. You have people who say they don't even think we went to the moon. Personally, I do not agree with that. I think that we went to the moon, and my question is just how many times we have been to the moon that has not been reported, and what types of technologies may be on the moon, whether they are man-made or extraterrestrial, that have been concealed. Because there really is no telescope that exists on planet Earth that is powerful enough for you to put your eye right up there to the eyepiece and see the flag on the moon. So I'm just using that as an example of the detail that is obtainable with traditional linear optics. And so when it comes to the stuff that exists on the surface of the moon, you really have to just believe the data that is coming to us from NASA and similar space exploration agencies. And if you believe it, fine. If you don't, fine. If you think maybe some of it's accurate and some of it's being concealed and there's something fishy going on, well, that makes sense because, you know, we should always be suspicious of what our governments are up to. That's one of the things the forefathers had in mind when they built these kind of precautionary fail-safes into the U.S. Constitution. Well, when I asked Charles Yost if there was anything fishy, the first thing he told me, he said, well, yeah, he said, there are a couple things that are fishy. He said, for one thing, since I've been an engineer for X amount of decades, I can't even recall how many it was at that point. And he said, every time you work on a project, you know there are at least a handful of things that are going to go wrong. And he said, when we sent the men to the moon for the first time, everything went incredibly smooth. He said it went so smoothly, in fact, from his point of view, that he always thought that was miraculous. It just almost seemed unbelievable that things could have gone that smoothly. But he didn't have any deeper insight or access to information that would give him a clearer picture of what that meant. But there is something that he thought was important enough to publish in the August 2003 issue of Electric Spacecraft, the scientific journal. He published a series of frames taken from NASA imagery. And here's how Charles Yost presented this to me. He said, I want to show you a video. And we sat down in one of his offices. It was just the two of us. And he showed me a piece of footage from Apollo 8. And Apollo 8 was orbiting the lunar surface. It was about 70 miles above the lunar surface with Earth in the background. And what you can see is that as you're sort of flying over the moon, you see all the typical craters and other, you know, sort of geologic surface features that we are all used to. And then all of a sudden, you see in the frame what looks like a little black hair sticking up from the surface of the moon. And as the Apollo 8 imager gets closer, the little hair begins to change perspective. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and so it looks like this is an object that is on the moon. And just as it looks like the camera is about to pass by this object, it appears to release some kind of a jet-like cloud. And this can be described as almost like a smokestack ejecting a puff of smoke. And this cloud drifts to the right and quickly dissipates. And then the footage ends. Now, he showed me this. He says, well, what do you think that is? And I said, I have no idea. What do you think it is? And he said, I don't know either. But he did say that from that altitude, that if that were a physical object, like a pipe of some kind or a chimney of some kind, sticking up from the surface of the moon, this thing would have to be hundreds, if not thousands, of feet tall. And immediately, I started thinking about all these weird ideas and concepts related to the possibility that there is some type of, for lack of a better word, a mechanical infrastructure within the moon. And in fact, our good friend Jim Mars wrote a fantastic book called Alien Agenda, in which he pointed out, I think maybe around 1993 or something like that, that when the moon is struck by a meteor, it rings like a bell, as if it has this sort of hollow structure, like it's a hollow sphere. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened when I got permission from Charles to take this and post it on our website, and then I went and started talking about it on Coast to Coast AM. And how this all ties into the idea that there may be folks with the government who are using the internet to tap into the civilian world and attempt to change the way that we discuss things that they want to keep concealed. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange, and I'll tell you more about this story when we return after this.
Why do you? my unfinished life and make it complete. Just like the moonraker knows his dream will come true someday. I know that you are only a kiss away. I've seen your smile in a thousand dreams.
Yeah, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Fittingly enough, this music is from the James Bond film Moonraker. And yes, that's right, all of tonight's bumper, well, just about all of it, is from James Bond movies. James Bond songs, theme songs. Fitting, given the atmosphere I believe there is right now with a lot of government surveillance, spying going on. You know, it's been happening for a long time, but it's interesting when it comes to the forefront of the dialogue. Before I get back to this story about anomalies on the moon and what I experienced when I started talking about this sort of thing, you know, we mentioned last hour that we're going to do a thought experiment here next week on Wednesday to try to see if maybe we can bring some water to Colorado where they're having droughts, and maybe ease some of the storm activity in Oklahoma. Obviously, we're doing this sort of thing because it's that season. Things are getting very rough and stormy and unpredictable. And that's why if you don't want to be left in the dark when the power goes out at your house, go visit sunshinesimple.com and watch the little free video there. And it will show you what you need to know if you are considering obtaining a solar generator for your home. It only costs around $1,500, and for that amount of money, you're talking about the most powerful solar generator on the market for the lowest price. So now's the time to get it, and there's also a new payment plan that can make that easier for you, sunshinesimple.com. So here I had this footage that Charles Yost had exposed me to that actually was used in a NOVA program called NOVA to the Moon. And Charles Yost had published these clips, these frames, in his Electric Spacecraft Scientific Journal. And so the LEMUR team took this information, and we took these frames and assembled them into an animated GIF to sort of reproduce what this NOVA footage looked like. And so if you want to see it, we have it linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com. But also, if you go to lemurteam.com, that's L-E-M-U-R, lemurteam.com, there is a menu heading called Ghost Hunting and More. And if you click on Ghost Hunting and More and just scroll down, you'll see a section called Space Mysteries. And when you click Space Mysteries, you'll see for yourself the animation of these frames, and you'll see this weird thing on the moon, and you'll see a lot of the information that was the product of me bringing this up on Coast to Coast AM and on our website and publicizing it. So all I did was ask the question, like, what is this? You know, I'm not out there trying to claim that I have the answer or that this is proof of aliens or anything like that. But after I went on Coast and exposed the concept of this thing and said, go look for yourself, the LEMUR discussion board was just overwhelmed with a firestorm of discussion and controversy, the likes of which I'd never seen before. And I've got posted on the webpage some of the developments that came from this, some of the points that people brought up, some of the opinions that people brought up. But here's what I thought was so weird. The LEMUR discussion board up to that point mainly consisted of people who wanted to come on and say, hey, I've seen a ghost, here's what happened, can you help me understand it? Or I've seen a Bigfoot, or I saw a flying saucer, you know, the typical paranormal stuff. Once, however, I tossed this question out with this NASA footage, the selection of people that came crowding onto the site seemed very unnatural to me. And there were people who were making the most long-winded, extremely technical, artistic and technical sort of presentations, where they were construing these massive amounts of information as to why that this could not be, why this is ridiculous. And at first I thought, well, okay, this is fine. These are just straight up mainstream, you know, amateur astronomer types who are trying to support NASA. But then I started really paying close attention, and I realized that some of these people who were posting, who had opened up accounts and who were saying, no, 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 this is ridiculous, here are all the technical reasons, they never slept. I could tell that they were doing this 24 hours a day. And and of course, at one point, I thought, well, this is impossible that one human being could be up 24 hours a day and responding immediately and with overwhelming argumentative force against this constantly. For one thing, why would somebody care enough to do that? It's okay. You know, I know how people get on discussion boards and they get into arguments and they get, you know, it becomes fun and they want to go back and forth and this can drag on for days or months. But no, this is like instantly. It's almost like responses were prepared. And the responses were, they were very, very, they were arrogant and snide and dismissive and unimaginative. And we just got to the point where we just started sort of sitting back and watching the amount of sort of, how do I put it? It was almost like a venomous, overwhelming outpouring. And when I read this story about what the U.S. Central Command, or CENTCOM, is now acknowledging that they're doing, I thought it was very fitting when it says that what they try to do is to crowd out unwelcome opinions and smother commentaries or reports that do not correspond with its own objectives. Now, Forrest, do you remember when all this was going on?
I do.
And I don't know how closely you followed the discussion board. I know that Robert McGee was right on top of it the whole time.
Well, Rob and I were both on top, sitting here. I was one of these people sitting back and just watching the venomous attacks happening about what was going on with this.
And it was weird that they cared that much, right?
It was.
It just didn't feel right. It didn't feel natural to me. And so I saw this major outpouring, and as a guy who is experienced on the internet, who started working on websites in like 96, 97, 98, I mean, I realized quickly that this didn't look right, that this didn't feel right, and that there was some organization here of individuals that had an agenda to suppress any inkling that this could be some true anomaly, that, you know, to do everything it could to demean any consideration that this could be a mystery. And why? You know, why? If there's nothing to it, why take that effort? And if there is something to it, then why almost draw more attention to it by addressing it so vehemently? Well, you know what? That was only the beginning. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you how this actually progressed from online attacks to human beings showing up at my house, on my property, following me around. I swear this is the truth. This is a personal experience that I had, which made me understand the depth to which government surveillance and misinformation and disinformation and propaganda can really explode. I'm Joshua Warren. I'll tell you the rest of the story when we come back. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warner. This is the song from the Bond movie, A View to a Kill, one of my favorites. You know, I always liked Roger Moore as James Bond. I know, you know, but it's risky to put that opinion out there. What about you, Forrest? Who is your favorite Bond?
I got a little Connery.
You like a little Sean Connery?
A little Sean Connery. Thank you, money, Penny.
Scottish Highlands. We like
yes.
Nice flap steak.
Yes. He had flap steak hanging in the W.O. offices every day.
And, Shelley, who is your favorite Bond?
Well, at first it was Roger Moore, and then I guess it kind of became Sean Connery. It doesn't really matter to me.
Really? So you went from Roger Moore to Sean Connery, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I am pleased with Daniel Craig. He's a very different type of Bond, but I do like him in the role. How do you guys feel about him?
I like Daniel Craig.
I haven't seen any recent Bond movies. I mean, I haven't seen this guy. Yeah.
Well, I think you'd like it. The ladies are very fond of Daniel Craig.
Why is that?
Well, you know, he's a hunk apparently. He comes. You see him come trudging up out of the ocean. Yeah. You know that scene, Forrest. All the ladies love that scene. Or maybe it's just me. Sorry. Okay, let's get back to brass tacks here. You know, our friend Nick Redfern, he came onto the program, and he talked about a book that he had written about all of the crazy investigations that the government has done over the years spying on civilians. And, you know, he had just, like, all this now declassified stuff on, like, Abbott and Costello and Elvis and Marilyn Monroe and all. And one of the things that really stood out as an example of why that the government is prone to often wasting time on civilians is this great document Nick has talking about these guys sitting around, and I guess it was like at the FBI office for about a week, every day, all day, listening to the song Louie Louie over and over and over again, trying to discern the lyrics to see if they met some type of, obscenity criteria. So, you know, that's the way the taxpayer money is often spent. So there are big departments of people out there who are put there, they're put into place specifically to attack concepts, to attack technology, and in some cases just to attack individuals. And you know, it's funny, we were chatting during the break, Shelley, and you were saying that you remembered looking back at some of this period of time, these threads where comments were being made, people were using these, people who sort of appeared out of nowhere were using these overwhelmingly complicated technical arguments to sort of intimidate those who may have had an alternative opinion of what this moon anomaly was, and they started to warp into personal attacks, right?
Oh, yeah. Vicious, venomous. It was really over the top.
So, you know, I'm watching this thing, and it's obvious to me that, for one thing, there are some very smart, well-trained, dedicated people who have decided to target me and Lemur and this whole expose that we were bringing some attention to here regarding something weird on the moon. Whether it was legitimate or not, it was like the very idea that we are raising some questions about this weird thing on the moon was enough to make us a target. And so I saw that happening online, but here's where things took a little shift. I would pick up my telephone to make a phone call, and as soon as I would pick up my telephone, I would hear male voices having a conversation. Because I'd pick up the phone, and before I would dial, I could hear it coming from the earpiece, and I'd be like, why are there people talking on my phone? And I'd put it up to my ear. And usually about the time I got up to my ear, I would hear one of the voices say something like, silence or something like that. And I'm like, what the hell?
you know. And then there are other times where I would my phone would ring, and I would pick it up and say hello, and somebody else would be saying hello, hello. And I'm like, so all this weird stuff started happening with my telephone, and my phone would click a lot, and there were just I can't even remember all the weirdness. It got so bad that I finally contacted the telephone company, because I use my, or back then especially, you know, I used that landline to do a lot of my radio appearances. Just like, you know, 9 times out of 10 when you go on Coast to Coast AM, they just talk to you on your telephone landline. And so I called the phone company, and they said, okay, we're going to send a guy out tomorrow. I said, fine. Well, the whole day went by. Nobody there. I call them and complain. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll have a guy. So this goes on for days. They keep telling me a guy's going to come out, and nobody ever comes out, and I'm getting really angry because I'm wasting my days. Finally, this white truck pulls up in my driveway. This is a house that I lived in several houses ago. This white truck pulls up in the driveway. Didn't even have any markings on it. And this guy got out of the truck and walked up to me, and he looked like he was probably in his mid to late 30s. And the weirdest thing was, as soon as he walked up to me, he looked down and would not look me in the eye. And I said, you know, thanks for coming out, you know, and I told him the problems I've been having, and he says, oh, okay, you know, I'll see what I can do. And it was so weird, he would never look me in the eye. And I noticed his hands did not look like the hands of a lineman, if that makes any sense. So the guy goes around to my telephone box or whatever, and he's messing around a little bit. And then he comes back, and he says, oh, I think everything's okay. But he still is not looking me in the eye. And I said to him, how would I know if my phone were being tapped? And the guy was absolutely silent. And I'm standing there, and he's standing there, and it was awkward because like 15 seconds went by. And I repeated myself. I said, because I thought, well, maybe this guy didn't hear me. And I said, how would I know if somebody were tapping into my line? And he looks up at me, and he looks back down, and then he just starts talking about something completely irrelevant. And I'm standing right in front of this guy, and now I'm on a mission. I'm like, okay, well, there's something very, very odd. And I said, I just asked you 2 times. I mean, how would I know if somebody were tapping into my phone line and listening to my conversations? And the guy is just silent again. He will not answer me. It's almost becoming comical at this point. That this guy has, I don't know who he was or what his background was or what his training was, but he was completely unprepared to deal with me asking him this very direct, simple question. How would I know if I'm being tapped? And I actually started laughing eventually because it was so awkward that he will not acknowledge the question. And once I started laughing, I think he felt very, very uncomfortable. And I said, seriously, I said, this is the 5th time. Tell me, how would I know? And at that point, he looked at me for the longest he ever looked me in the eye, and he said, well, it's possible, but I would have no way of knowing unless you filed a proper, some kind of form or other with the phone company and the government. And he was the one who brought up the government. Okay, I didn't even bring up the government. I mean, for all I knew, anybody could be tapping my phone, right? Some pervert could be I'm just saying this hypothetically. And he could not get out of there fast enough. And he got in his car and into his truck, and he got out of there. And I knew that guy who had come to my house was not a Bell South, or I forget if it was Bell South or AT&T at that point. I knew that guy was not some regular employee because he was so uncomfortable being in that position. It was almost like that they knew they had to deal with my complaint, and they couldn't get anybody who wanted to take the job, and so this guy was thrust into the position. And that's when I started to feel really uncomfortable because all this had happened at once, and I realized I am being monitored. I am being surveilled by the government, and it has to have a connection to this moon thing. And after that, oh boy, how do you know whether or not you're just being paranoid or they're actually watching you? Well, all I can tell you is that, they started following me around. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will conclude this by telling you some of the things that I experienced after this with these spooky little men in black and what my general overall opinion is on what they are doing and why they do it. It's the program where we bring you the truth best we can, and we dig into the amazing or remarkable, and in this case, the conspiratorial realm. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This program is called Speaking of Strange. In the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, coming in next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into the more amazing and remarkable and outrageous stuff, stuff that's controversial, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, okay? So just tune out if you don't want to hear that kind of stuff, because that's what we're going to be talking about top of the next hour. Right now, I'm kind of wrapping up this conversation about my run-in with government spooks related to information that I was trying to get out there about some anomaly on the moon. What does it mean? Does it mean that the moon is a machine, or there's some technology on the moon, whether it's man-made or extraterrestrial, that government agencies don't want us to know about? I don't know. All I know is even if there's a perfectly logical explanation for the footage that I have, They were still going overboard to try to conceal it and bully around the conversation that these civilians were having. And, mind you, there are people who have come up with what seem like some compelling explanations for what this anomaly could be. One guy said, well, this isn't moving footage at all. It's just a still photograph. And they zoomed in on the still photograph, and there obviously was a piece of lint or fuzz or something that created this illusion, like there's a pipe sticking up that blows some smoke out of it. And you can even see the fingerprints on the photograph. Well, I say, all right, if that's the case, if all of these amazing little variables came together and you can zoom in on a photograph and create this effect, show me. Show me an example of this. Reproduce it, or show me one other case where this has been done. Nobody's ever been able to do that. So what is this thing on the moon? I still don't know. But I was telling you that after the mysterious phone company guy appeared at my house, that I would go out to restaurants, and this would go on. This went on probably for easily a month. And I could always tell who these government spooks were who were sitting around listening to me, not only because I'm a pretty good judge of body language, and any of you who are, you can tell if somebody's acting weird, but in my experience, most of these government guys who go out there to watch you, most of them are younger guys, some of them could be older, but most of them have a really like nice athletic watch, a wrist watch that they wear. And I noticed this after a while, and it makes sense because they are trying to keep tabs on as much information as possible, not just regarding time, but who knows what else these little wristwatches have. They do a lot of crazy stuff with wristwatches. So if you see people who are acting suspicious, like they might be trying to listen in on you, and they have some really fancy little athletic-looking wristwatches, that's a dead giveaway. So there's my little tip on how to spot some government spies. And, you know, when it comes to what they're up to now, in this new news story, U.S. Central Command story, it's kind of, you know, weird and chilling in a way, because it says here, the CENTCOM contract stipulates that each fake online persona must have a convincing background, history, and supporting details. The controllers will use different servers to make it look as though the comments are coming from a variety of locations. They will use traffic mixing techniques in order to blend in with other visitors to the site. And they are vowing that this technology CENTCOM is using right now is not to be directed toward American citizens, only, of course, to people in foreign places. Well, obviously, that's just not the case. That's just not true. But let me tell you this in closing. I appreciate what the military does. And I appreciate the fact that they are there to try to protect us, and that there are lots of evil, horrible people, I believe this, all over the world, who do want to attack us. There are crazy people everywhere. And I am totally cool with the military protecting whatever secrets they need to in order to secure our country, whether that be an extraterrestrial technology or not. I understand that. It makes sense to me. I'm not saying that it's wrong for them to keep tabs on things, but I am just giving you here my personal experience to let you know that they are doing this on a very realistic level. And in my case, I'm not some guy who's trying to, you know, propose some sort of extremist agenda or anything along those lines. I'm just talking about the paranormal. And if I am also being targeted because of my paranormal discussions, that goes to show you, my friends, there is something real to this thing called the paranormal. And it's not just fanciful. And if you want to really understand the government agenda, you have to accept the reality of what we often call paranormal phenomena. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dig into the more outrageous and controversial news as of late during the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.